The 70s, 80s and 90s were the decades that built Australian rock. Were you there? Were you in the audience in those decades celebrating live music in all its sweaty, sticky carpeted glory? You probably remember the names of the famous musicians you saw on stage, but I doubt you ever knew the names of the people in the background who made it happen. The roadies, who started early, worked late, partied hard, and spent life on the road for months at a stretch. They were the backbone of Australia's rock and roll scene, but now it's taking a toll, physically, emotionally, and socially. And roadies aren't the only ones in insecure gig work. It's becoming more common. So what happens when this career comes to an end? What does retirement look like after life on the road? Well, Adelaide University researchers are working with former roadies to understand the particular challenges they face as they age and what other industries can learn from this. You're about to hear all about it, but I'd love to hear from you too. What toll has your work taken on you? Even if it was a dream job, one that looked glamorous from the outside, one that you loved, maybe it didn't love you back. Tell me about the toll your work's taken on you, how that has looked in your retirement. 0418 226 576. Here with me to chat about this study is Associate Professor Brad West, Co-Director of the Social Relationships and Communities Research Group at Adelaide University, and Rod Louis-Gung, former roadie, now in his 70s, a Director of the Australian Road Crew Association, which is a not-for-profit that supports former roadies. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Rod, I might start with you. Tell me how you became a roadie.
That's an interesting story. After a family tragedy when I was very young, a school friend rang me up and said, Rod, we need somebody to carry some boxes and set up PAs. And I stupidly, maybe, certainly naively said, oh, yeah, I can do that. And so I left home at 18 and joined a rock and roll band. And that was it. Basically going from knowing absolutely nothing to a 50-year career in the music and associated industries.
That's wild. Can you carry a box 50 years later? You're an expert.
No, I can't. The body's broken down.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I do want to talk about that. I'm also keen to know, like, who do you work with? Anyone that I'd recognise?
Look, I started at the time when a lot of the people that are famous now were just starting out, and they wouldn't remember me from a bar of soap. However, I had Nick Cave rehearsing in my bedroom at one stage. I did one of Midnight Oil's gigs at a hotel in downtown Prahran in Victoria when they were just a struggling band. And it's been that way for most of my career. I haven't had to do the really, really hard yards of a lot of my brethren or my contemporaries. So I've been very lucky, but that's one of the reasons why I can actually see myself giving something back now.
Sure. So you didn't do big stints on the road, but it's a pretty common part of that industry. What's like a day in the life of a roadie typically?
Oh, get up and have breakfast at 6 a.m., jump in the truck, drive to the town, wherever it is. It could be 300 kilometres, 500 kilometres away, set the gig up, go and have some dinner, go back to the gig, work through the gig, making sure that everything is working properly. Then at the end of it, when the musicians have left the stage, it's up to you to pack it up, put it back in the truck, and then you're off to the next town or you're off for a sleep, and then it's a constant grind. Now, when I was doing it, I did it as a solo operator. So it was me doing all of that at setting it up, operating it, breaking it down, and then moving on. But it gets to be something that is all-consuming.
You said you ended up working pretty much 50 years in the industry. Do most people see it as a long-term career when they get in?
Probably not. Well, I know I certainly did. Sorry, didn't. Yeah. I had no idea what I was getting myself in for, and it just so happens that I was able to pivot to other areas of the industry, which increased my longevity in it.
Mm. So, Brad, you're listening to Rod, you're doing this study. What do we know at this stage about the kind of work this can take, the kind of toll this work can take physically and mentally?
Yes, it's complicated, partly because, you know, these jobs are precarious. They take a toll on the body, but they're also one which you sort of indicated that the people often love it as well. You know, they have a real strong attachment to the industry. It becomes a lifestyle. And unlike some other jobs, you know, when you love it, you know, it's even harder to leave it. Mm. You know, the toll afterwards, you know, it's a, you know, all that sort of emotional, physical intensity, you know, in its own way is enjoyable, but makes it, you know, people more isolated when they leave, because as they get older, you know, they haven't established those sorts of connections. They haven't, you know, embedded themselves in communities or, you know, mainstream society, if you like, the ways that others have that help them, you know, age well.
What can that mean in retirement or in later life?
Look. I mean, it can mean both, you know, significant economic insecurity, and, you know, the Australian Road Crew Association, you know, is really established to help its members and those who they know who are doing it hard. There's plenty of examples of that, but there's also a sense of social isolation, or a sense of just kind of being forgotten. And, you know, as you mentioned, that, you know, we know about the music history from the artist's perspective, but we often don't know it from, you know, those backstage workers. And so part of what we're trying to help the Australian Road Crew Association out is, you know, to better understand the difficulties and challenges that its members and others are facing, but also to raise awareness of, you know, what their contribution has been to the Australian live music industry, but also how we can improve their well-being, particularly through peer support, something that, you know, they noticed was doing a lot of good in the annual reunions they'd been organising for over a decade.
So we're talking about roadies. That's obviously a really specific niche, but do you see implications for other industries, Brad?
Yes, well, it's, I mean, you know, in a way you said they're the original gig workers, but there's plenty of, you know, insecure work now, you know, those who are on contracts, those who, you know, are forced to volunteer before and do internships before, you know, hopefully landing jobs, low wages, long hours, excessive travel, you know, the digital revolution, you know, has you know, only contributed to that. And how that sets people up, you know, later in life, you know, there's lessons to be learned from road crew, and including for, you know, the contemporary road crew itself. So, you know, there's many differences in the scene now in terms of working conditions from that in the 1970s, 1980s, even the 1990s. But, you know, the demand for the services of the Music Industry Charity Support Act, which provides crisis relief and mental health and wellbeing support to music industry crew, you know, there's high demand for that. So, you know, this precarious work is likely to mean that, you know, this new generation will continue to challenge, you know, as they age.
Mm. You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Brad West from Adelaide University and Rod Louis-Gung, former roadie and director of the Australian Road Crew Association, talking about retirement for roadies, but also maybe for other gig workers, and how perhaps they are in a place where it's a little bit more precarious, especially socially. And I wonder if this has shown up for you in your work, if your work has taken a toll in a particular way. Greg says, I've been in the electrical trade since 1975, had a rotator cuff shoulder repair 10 years ago, and the other side 2 months ago. Too much crawling in confined spaces. Retiring soon, but no water skiing or snowboarding for me. And Adam says, my uncle's long-term roadie passed away and left my uncle $80,000 in his will. Well, there you go. Well, to talk about maybe making healthy transitions into retirement, protecting your mental health, Professor Nancy Bahana is a geropsychologist and the director of the Healthy Aging Initiative at the University of Queensland. Nancy, welcome back to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me.
So listening to Rod's story and this research project, what are the mental health risk factors in this kind of career?
I think that there's several. I mean, one is that it's such a wonderful, all-encompassing career that a lot of identity gets invested in that. And then if you're faced with then losing that identity, either through I don't have this work or I don't have this social support network, this can really lead to mental distress down the track. And the second thing is that it's often demanding work that has set people apart, maybe from their family. They've had to move around a lot, right? So some traditional sources of support that others might have is lacking.
Are there other types of workplaces that have similar risk factors?
Sure. I can think of lots of different careers in the arts, in long-haul trucking, people who do wildlife caring. There's a lot of careers where people are all in, basically, right? And they're in a community of people. Maybe that's the only community of people that they feel can really understand what they're doing. And they're not usually, they may have super, they may not have super, they may have not gotten the correct super. And, you know, when it comes to then healthy aging, one of the key supports for healthy aging is social support and also obviously financial security.
So more people are freelancing, more people are doing gig work, the sorts of characteristics of these, that roadie life is maybe a bit more democratic than it was a little while ago. This transition to retirement, how can people prepare for it in a way that sets them up for success?
So this is a huge part of my research. And I think one thing people have to do is recognize that retirement may be in their future and it may come sooner, like your caller with the rotator cuff injury, you know, may come sooner than you expect. And you can set yourself up for success in a couple of ways. I'm really impressed by the Australian Road Crew Association, their peer support network. I think that's such a network, finding people that can carry you through this important transition is key. And I also like their support network because I think it's intergenerational. People can tell you they've been there and maybe you're just contemplating retirement. And that's a really important thing, to have voices of experience there with you. I'd also like to say that, you know, probably doing some things for health, eating right, that sort of thing is also important to set you up well. But I think of all the factors, that social factor is often overlooked and it's really key.
You're telling me your stories as well of work that doesn't love you back. Dean says, roadie work is hard. I've been a worker on festivals for decades, big Pentec trucks packed after the gig after midnight, boxes over 100 kilos stacked three high in a tight space, three trucks for one stage, many tons, many millions of dollars, a support system for a band ready to play the next gig 800 kilometres away in 24 hours. Dean says what can't be fixed with gaffer and zip ties hasn't been found yet. Well, Rod, tell me about the Australian Road Crew Association. We've mentioned it a couple of times. How are you supporting former roadies?
The association was originally set up in 2013. It was in response to what was seen at the time as mental health issues, which had manifests itself in suicide rates that were some 2 to 3 times the national average. And the peer-to-peer nature of the roadies group was nurtured by the annual get-togethers that have been every year since then, apart from during COVID. And since then, we've been able to drop the suicide rate to virtually zero. So I think that is definitely a win, and it's a testament to the earlier managing members of the Road Crew Association that they are able to do that. The association gets funds to supply also crisis care and crisis support to its members. Say somebody comes up and says, I can't afford the registration for my car, or my washing machine has broke down, or I don't actually have a place to live right now. We have been working very successfully previously with Support Act, and that will continue. So we, through another subsidiary of our business called Black Box Records, earn funds or get funds from the sale of streaming rights to music, which has been approved by bands, and there's some famous bands there. And we get the streaming rights from Spotify and Tidal and so on. And that money is then passed through to Support Act, and also supplies or enables Support Act to supply additional crisis care to the roadie cohort.
Fantastic work. Rod, Brad and Nancy, thank you all so much for chatting with me today. Rod Louis-Gung, former roadie, director of the Australian Road Crew Association, talking about the really important support work that they do for former roadies. Associate Professor Brad West is the co-director of the Social Relationships and Community Research Group at Adelaide University, which is looking into what roadies need in terms of support after work. And it's relevant to maybe more of you than we thought originally. Thanks, Professor Nancy Bahana, geropsychologist and Director of Healthy Ageing Initiative at the University of Queensland, for providing that general advice on preparing for retirement if you haven't had a typical career. Thank you for your texts too. One says, my second position as a speed typist in the Magistrates Court working on tapes, which I thoroughly enjoyed and excelled at, but it left me with ankylosis spondylitis in my neck and low back because no one pulled me up for not supporting my back. Sitting on the front of the office chair, feet crossed underneath, typing at speed, no electric typewriters then. Apparently doing this for 2 years was equal to a carpenter driving nails in with a hammer constantly. Hard work.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.